Seems like every day there's a news story about something terrible happening on an airplane, an unruly passenger, it goes off, a door flies off. There's all kinds of things going on, right?
Some of these things are worse on a scale of 0 to 10 than others.
Raven, producer John, producer Sean, in front of each of you, there is a piece of paper and you have a marker in your hand. None of you know why. I want you to write down on that piece of paper, if somebody could mistaken you for any celebrity, what celebrity would you like to be mistaken for?
No, it doesn't have to be believable, right? It just has to be that, you know, this is a wish that my heart is making, and then this person will see me as that person no matter what.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. That really does leave a lot of opportunity.
Yep.
Yeah.
Quickly write it down, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then fold your paper so nobody can see it in half. Everybody is frantically writing right now. Now take your paper and hand it to the person next to you. So, Raven, I'll hand you mine. Sean, you send me yours. You give that to John.
Okay.
Here we go.
Wait, you're going that way.
Yeah, all right.
Going this way.
There we go.
All right.
All right, so now here's the story. Here's what happened. It's another meltdown on a Spirit flight. There was a woman.
A poor Spirit. I'm sorry.
You reap what you sow, John.
I know.
She started yelling because somebody was singing and she didn't want the person to sing. So here is her frantically screaming because, of course, everybody took out their cell phones to record.
Hey, record!
We see you hit him.
Yeah, that's assault.
Yeah, just assaulted an officer.
Shut up, Richard Gere! Shut up, Richard Gere!
And she decided to call him.
Shut up, Richard Gere!
Shut up, Richard Gere.
Did he look like Richard Gere?
Did he
have the silver hair?
No, nothing like that.
No?
Because
I like to give people nicknames of people that they kind of look like, too.
It's always funny when someone's like, oh, yeah, Richard Gere over here talking about this. You know what I mean? I love that.
Mm-hmm. Right, Mr. Sweater Vest. You know, I like to give him names that are descriptive, you know? So if he looked like him.
I was like, if you're that guy, you're not insulted. You're like, all right, Richard Gere.
It doesn't matter if you're 50 or 80.
So I started thinking about it. I'm like, if somebody could tell you to shut up, but it was like they mistaken you for somebody else.
Yeah.
Who would it be? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make that dream come true. We're going to go around the room.
Yeah.
I have producer Sean's, right? And I'm going to open it.
Yeah.
Shut up, Samuel L. Jackson.
What can I say?
Pretty cool.
How's that feel?
Feels really good, actually.
I know that this wasn't a game, but Sean won.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It does feel good, right? I mean, it does feel good. Because then everybody's automatically on your side, too, if you're Samuel L. Jackson.
So, Raven, you have mine. Go ahead. Tell me to shut up.
Yeah, you got it. Shut up, Shakira.
Yes! Oh, God, it feels so good. Do you want to see me dance? Because my hips don't lie.
No, that's all right. Just shut up, Shakira.
All right, okay. John, you have Ravens, right?
Yeah.
Shut up, Bradley Cooper, really?
It would feel so good.
Wouldn't it?
I would just be like, I'd be like, you know what? I will be quiet over here because I'm Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
I like this game.
Isn't that great?
It feels so good.
Sean, go ahead. Make Sean's dreams come true.
Shut up, George Clooney.
Yeah.
We all feel a little better now, right?
Yeah, we do.
That might encourage me to talk more, you know?
6. That's how many dumb arguments you have on average every single weekend with your friends and family.
Yeah.
But now you have to decide who had the dumbest argument of the weekend. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, or me.
Sometimes these arguments are bigger than others. So this past weekend is the time that I need to get a new grill right now for the house. They'd last a few seasons. You got to replace it. So I'm having the debate because the griddle is the big thing, the hot plate this year. Hot plate versus propane grill. I said, do you think that there's any difference whatsoever? Is the difference a real thing?
Not same thing. The griddle's fantastic for what it does, but if you want a grilled burger, that's completely different.
You don't even see the sear marks.
You can do sausage and peppers on a griddle. You can do hash browns. You can do so many more things on a griddle, but you just don't get the sear marks.
So you want your burger on a propane grill, but you want everything else on the planet on a griddle.
Sure.
That's dumb. It's completely ridiculous.
First of all, you're mean.
It's not charcoal, all right? I'm not out there cooking with, like, you know, the smoked chips and all that stuff. It's a propane grill.
I think a steak is better on a grill, too, instead of on a griddle.
I mean, whatever makes you happy. Why are you so mad at that guy?
Because this is the same argument I had with my wife.
Okay. This is the same argument I've had with my daughter, my 5-year-old, for the last 3 days in a row.
Dakota, what's the problem?
I want the solar eclipse to be every day so much.
All right, you want the solar eclipse to be every day?
Yeah. Why can't it be every day?
Because it can't. Because the sun and the moon and the way that they go in outer space, and it doesn't happen every day.
I want it to.
I don't know what they're teaching her in school, but they've done an excellent job because she's never been so excited for anything in her entire life.
I mean, clearly they're teaching her better than they taught you because you had no idea what you were talking about.
I was
going
to say, this poor child asking you to explain to her the science of the universe and so forth, and then depending on you for that information. But, you know, I mean, right, it can't be every single day.
My kid is having the opposite problem. He doesn't want the eclipse at all. He's like, no, Dad, I don't know. Let's not do the eclipse. I'm like, bro, this is celestial bodies, man. We got no call in that.
I don't know. I have to
somehow made it erotic.
I honestly have never seen her so excited about something in her life. It's wild. Yeah.
They're dismissing a lot of schools
all right,
now, man.
Here's Sean's argument.
Well, that was Mom. That was me.
Come on. Repo site? How is a repo site a building? Please.
You guys are choosing fast food chains.
No, yeah, because they're buildings.
Buildings and structures are more things like...
repo site?
You are choosing fast food chains, dude.
Yeah, because the Burger King is an actual building.
What?
I'm confused.
We're playing a game called Tapple, and it's like the full alphabet, and you choose a card, and then you basically have to eliminate the letters, and if you can't think of one within the time frame, you're eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was structures. Uh-huh. And they were saying just stupid answers, like repo site. I'm like, that's not a structure.
Sounds like a chop shop to
a
me.
A Burger King. I'm like, a Burger King's a chain restaurant, not a structure. You know?
That is a dumb argument.
I mean,
I was getting really so mad because you're
pretty ridiculous.
So aggravated.
All right, here's John's argument.
How do you not have ketchup in your fridge, though?
I just don't use it typically on a weekly basis.
Yeah, but it's ketchup. It's not, it's in the fridge. It comes with the house. It's in the fridge.
You don't just magically snap your fingers and ketchup appears. The Heinz Angel does not just appear in your fridge when you move
I've
in.
Never been in a house in my entire life that didn't have ketchup in the fridge.
Well, welcome to mine.
I mean, you can't just expect her to have ketchup because you want it.
Yes, you can.
Also, can I point
I think
out,
you can.
Can yes. I point out that John said it comes with the house? Like,
it does.
No, it does come with the house.
I tend to agree.
Preach, Raven.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree.
Ketchup does not come with the house.
Seriously. No, I think it does. There was no packets?
No packets. Madness.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 They say that 50% of people, when they see a solar eclipse for the first time, cry.
Mm.
And I'm trying to figure out, if you cry the first time you see a solar eclipse, what does that say about you?
Do you think it's because it's emotionally moving or it's something big? Or do you think it's just because they're holding their eyes open really, really, you know, wide, trying not to blink so they don't miss anything?
And now they're blind?
I mean, it could be that too.
Yeah.
This all plays into it.
I don't know. I mean, that's all I need to know about you if you cry. And I think, like, I'm one of those people that all of a sudden I would probably cry. Because I think all of a sudden you realize that the world is so much bigger than you and, like, you're such a small part of it. And when you see something like that that you have no control over, it kind of puts you in your place.
Well, I mean, that's good. A little bit of perspective will go a long way, right?
I guess so.
If you go on a hike and take your cat with you in a backpack, that's all I need to know about you.
I like those pack packs. You see those things?
I've seen the ones where they've got like the glass bubble or the plastic bubble. It looks like they're in space.
Yeah.
This one was one with a screened back. It was a couple in front of us as we went for a hike yesterday. And all I thought was the cat doesn't look like he's having fun.
Maybe. You don't know that.
That cat looked like he was going to throw up.
That cat might have been having the time of its life.
All I'm thinking was, is this is a you thing, not a cat thing, right? This is something, you know, greedy for you. As a couple, like, I don't know what happens when you get to your destination on the trail. Do you take the cat out? Do you give him some leisure time? I don't know. But right now, he's facing backwards, and the world is bouncing, you know, crazily as you walk down the trail.
All right, your turn. 1-800-330-9999. What's driving you crazy right now? You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. David.
If you eat your pizza with a fork and knife and not your hands, that's all I need to know about you.
I disagree.
Yeah.
My dad is a pizza guy. He's made pizzas his whole life since he came here from Italy. And I asked him this one time. Mm. And he said it didn't matter. He said that there's some pizzas that you need a fork and a knife, and there's some that you don't. And whatever you decide to do, that's fine.
You know what's the best kind of pizza? The pizza that's paid for. Do whatever you want with the pizza once you leave here. I don't care what you do with that pizza in the parking lot.
Michael, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah. If you bring your dog into a grocery store, that's all I need to know about you.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, I'm not huge fan on this, but if the dog's well-behaved and whatever, I'm fine. I do always like running into a dog. So that's the thing is, doesn't matter if it makes sense to me or not. If I run into a dog, it immediately makes my mood better than when I ran into not a dog.
I just don't think your dog should be next to the fruits and vegetables and the, like.
How tall are these dogs that you know?
They go inside the cart.
Oh, the little ones.
Yeah, I don't know. I to me, it's like they don't belong in the grocery store.
Mm.
You know, some people just don't like that near their food, and that's not fair to everybody else.
Listen, because I kiss my little dogs, everybody on the planet should be prepared to kiss my little dogs.
Oh, gosh. You know I don't like that. I don't kiss my pets.
Daddy's home. I want you to imagine. Mm. Just a couple hours, I'll be there. I'll be like, were you good boys? Who was a good boy? Who was a good boy?
Pull ticks off my dog. Solar total eclipse day. A lot of people getting married today, too, which I thought was, all right, I mean, cool.
It's lovely. It's lovely. A very nice gesture.
I mean, do you want to get married at totality? Like, that's the plan?
I mean, right in the darkness.
Imagine you get that wedding invitation. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, you're like, on a Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what, I gotta go to this wedding on a Monday? It's going to be dark. I'm not even going to see them.
I mean, again, it would be a memorable experience. I mean, imagine that photo there, right as the corona crest. Woo!
But
sassy.
Oddly, I found out that a lot of people are also planning their first kiss today. Do you know the average age of the first kiss in the United States of America?
I want to say like 16 or something.
I'm going to go with 12.
15.
15. It's nice. 15. Correct, okay. John. Correct.
Where are they planning this?
I don't know.
A mass walkout for a kiss?
It's got to be a school, right?
Weird. Schools are planning it.
The school, I
don't know about that memo going home.
No, I don't think this is a school-sanctioned event.
All right.
But I heard there's a lot of teenagers that are planning to have their first kiss today because of the total eclipse.
A lot of pressure.
Total eclipse of the heart.
What was your first kiss like? Was it any good?
You know, I was 15, okay. I think I was, and it was like on the schoolyard. And the boy I kissed was a twin, mm-hmm. and they looked a lot alike.
So are you sure which one you kissed?
I'm sure, but I remember that it was always like one of those things where it was like I couldn't really tell them apart, because right. then we were boyfriend and girlfriend. You know?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sometimes they could pull a switcheroo.
Like you said, sure, but now the more you talk, the less sure you seem.
Right.
That's,
it was nice.
You know?
Seems like a sweet boy.
You're double tipping your toe in one pond there.
Yeah. Jody, up at the playground in my condo complex, and she was the aggressor here. She, like, you know, had her girlfriend come and tell me that she wanted to kiss me. So we're running around the playground area. I was like fifth grade. She was like fourth grade. And I kissed her on the cheek because I was so nervous. And she was like, on the cheek? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't think kiss you on the lips if you prefer. And I think she said yes, but I ran away.
Yeah, that's so. Not
right.
First.
That's not first kiss, dude.
Yeah, that doesn't count?
No.
Cheek doesn't count.
Yeah.
Cheek doesn't count.
Chasing a girl.
Might have been Angela then, I guess. Angela. Could have been Angela.
How old were you?
Yeah. Angela, I would say I was probably 12. 12 or 13.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was 13 or 14. And similarly, mine was the aggressor, too. Can I be honest with you? I don't remember her name. I don't remember her name
you
at all.
Player jerk.
Huh? No, seriously. I'm serious. Well, because she was so. All right,
you should have lied.
I ran into her at like this like playground where I would go with my skateboard right down the street from my house.
Skater.
And she was like, do you want to like meet me here tomorrow, like after school? And I was like, yeah, cool. And we like talked for a little while. And then she asked if I wanted to kiss, and I was like, yeah. And then we did. And then it was like weird for a minute, and then we talked for like another 5 minutes, and then she left, and then we never saw each other again.
That's equivalent to the after kiss cuddle right there.
And that's when Avril Lavigne wrote Skater Boy.
That's right. Right at that moment.
My first kiss, I was 10 years old, and it was I was on a Ferris wheel, actually. My mom's best friend had a daughter who was the same age, and we grew up together. We knew each other our entire lives, and we were just on a Ferris wheel, and she was just like, hey, you know, we should, I like you. If I think you like me, we should kiss, and we kissed on the Ferris wheel.
That's really sweet.
That is cute.
For a minute, I felt like your mom was like, yeah, kiss her!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kiss her, and that would have felt very inappropriate.
All the way from the bottom of the Ferris
right,
wheel.
Right, right.
I remember I went home and had pasta after, and I thought the pasta tasted different.
You're a woman then. You're a woman then. That's right.
Great American total solar eclipse day.
Yep.
A lot of people planning to get married today, which I thought was fascinating. But also, through the Snapchats, people are planning their first kiss. A lot of teenagers.
Well, sometimes, you know, with the first kiss, it's not really going to be successful. I mean, after all, you haven't done it before. There's no way to know whether or not you're any good at it or bad at it the first time around. Either way, you're going to run away and you're going to feel amazing and also terrified. I mean, that's how I felt anyways.
Average age of the first kiss in the United States is 15 years old. What was your first kiss like? Was it during a solar eclipse? Probably not.
Doubt it.
1-800-330-9999. Bert, how about you?
I don't care about the first kiss. I want to let you know, how do you know if you're a good kisser?
How do you know?
Oh, tell us.
How do you know? Well, for ladies, if you're a good kisser, you will know. The man will let you know physically.
Mm.
If you're a good kisser, you will feel the woman's feet in your hand. I had that happen to me. I've kissed a woman, and you can slowly feel her, like, just fading away.
She's melting. Melting into you.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it, Bert. Bert, yeah. This is extremely romantic.
Really romantic.
And eye-opening.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for the call and the education, sir. Have a great day.
Yeah, this is Lenny from Ridge. How you doing?
All right, Lenny. I want to kiss you already. Tell me, first kiss, what's your story? Tell us about it.
My story is it was with Cindy Stiffel. I was in third grade, and I kissed her. She kissed me, actually,
yep.
Behind my mom's chair in the living room.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I think she was just using me for lollipops.
Yeah.
What, you had lollipops?
She was a player. Yeah, she wore a lollipop.
There's nothing worse than people use you for lollipops.
You know what? You know, you were objectified for the very first time.
Melody, where was your first kiss?
It was in the basement of my best friend's house when we were like, I think I was like 13 or 12 or something like that.
Who did you kiss?
I don't want to say his name.
Full name.
Address.
Full name, school.
What does he do for a living now?
Yeah. How many kids does he have now?
All right, hold on. Was it good or was it bad?
Oh, it's always bad.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Wait, is that like a thing? Everybody's first kiss is bad?
Well, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You have no idea what you're doing. Was it embarrassing? Did he have bad breath? What was it about it?
It was the tongue. I was like, why do people do this? Like, I was so confused. It was so gross.
She's like, this is the dumbest habit ever, and I'm never growing up. Thank you very much. Adults are gross.
Robert, how about you? Where was your first kiss?
Oh, my best friend had this RV camp he always went to every summer with his family, and they brought me along. And at night, on the last day of camp, there would be like a kid's dance, and I met someone, and we had our first kiss at the lake, but then never talked again.
The RV park and the campgrounds, that's like where a lot of those first kisses happen.
Like Dirty Dancing style?
No, not quite that, but, you know, more like, who's around? Oh, my gosh, okay, there's somebody else my age. Thank God, I thought I was going to be out here by myself. Now I'm kissing them.
But then you never saw that person again.
That's right.
Don't you wonder what happened to them? What if you had a future together? Who knows?
You grow up, you get to be older when you have, like, a license, and you figure out that they're 8 miles away, 7 minutes, and you never saw your first love again. I guess that doesn't happen anymore, Anna, because now there's social media.
I guess. I know, you would have to, that would never happen anymore, because first you would have to snap each other, and then right. You would meet wherever you are in the RV park.
Your friends would have already ridiculed the other person based on some post that you did, and you would have written them off.
Yeah. Okay. Oh,
it was kind of nice to be our age at that time, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. 13 states, 33 million people will be affected by the total solar eclipse today.
Awesome.
Yep. And the truth of the matter is that up until a few days ago, the biggest warning was to protect your eyes. Don't look directly at it, right?
Seems like a good warning.
But all of a sudden, around the country, police have been coming forward and giving more messages like this.
The state police encourages residents and visitors to carpool if possible. And most importantly, prepare. Consider bringing extra food, water, medications, gas, a cell phone charger, cold weather gear, and emergency supplies.
What?
Where are they bringing all these things to?
Go, what?
To go,
why?
To go to a place to watch it?
Yeah. Like, what is going to happen?
It will drop 20 degrees when the sun is totally faded away. So maybe that's it. Bring a blankie.
All right. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, there's only one thing we can do to protect ourselves against whatever's going to happen today.
The goal of a tinfoil hat is to shield a person's brain from electromagnetic radiation like radio waves.
We're going to make a tinfoil hat to protect ourselves from radio waves just in case something terrible happens today.
We are part of a machine that is just creating mass hysteria across the country right now.
Yep.
That is what we are doing. We are feeding into... Okay.
Why do people make tinfoil hats?
Now, most of the hats I've seen have used tinfoil, and this is an okay material. Aluminium has some electromagnetic wave blocking capabilities thanks to its electrical conductivity.
So foil is good to protect your brain.
Seemed like a counterproductive statement, actually, contradictory statement that she made there, but that's all right. I like her accent.
There are, however, much more conductive and therefore more protective materials that you can use. If your budget allows, you'd be much better off with making your hat out of gold, silver, or copper foil instead.
We don't have gold or copper, and we work in radio, so there is no budget for that. Yeah. We are using straight foil, and I should say I brought the good foil.
I was going to say, I mean, Anna did spring for the Reynolds wrap, so it's pretty, you know, high tech right there. I haven't seen Reynolds wrap in like 3 years.
Next, you have to think about how thick your hat is. Thicker materials help to block lower frequency radiation, so I suggest using at least 10 separate layers of foil for good protection.
10 layers of foil you need to make your tinfoil hat to protect your brain from radioactive waves today.
Low frequency waves, I guess. It's like an equalizer for your brain.
Not green. This is not good for the environment.
No, but it's good for our heads. It
is
very
good. You
gotta
reuse it after you take apart your tinfoil hat tomorrow if you survive, John.
Here's the thing, though. There's one last thing you need to know when you make your tinfoil hat.
The biggest problem in the hat designs that I've seen is that they only cover the top of your head. Electromagnetic radiation can still get to your brain by entering underneath the hat. So for actual protection, your hat will need to run all the way underneath your chin and around the front of your face and the back of your head.
All right, so you have to fully enclose your head. So everybody has to start.
It's harder with the headphones. I would have taken
a
bigger piece.
That's what I'm saying. I had to take mine off.
All right.
I thought there was going to be more uniformity to this.
Now you have to enclose your brain completely in the foil, and don't forget your chin, because remember what she said, the radioactive can come in from your chin.
That's what she said.
So you got to look like Santa Claus, a little bit like Santa Claus, but look how protected I am.
I feel like a pirate.
I know I do. I look like a pirate. Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Yard.
And now, guys, great news. Great news. We are completely protected today from anything that will happen.
It fell off. I've got such a big head.
We look really cool, though.
We look really cool. I mean, we have to post pictures of us right now on our Instagram at Anna and Raven. If anybody wants to make tinfoil hats today, remember the important things. 10 layers, protect your chin. Go for it.
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
The coolest mammals on the planet. There can be only one. Who will be the champion? It's Anna and Raven's Mammal Madness.
While the entire country is watching basketball over the past weekend and tonight, here we are looking to crown the greatest mammal of all time. Now, congrats to South Carolina defeating Iowa last night to win the NCAA Women's Championship. Tonight, the men play UConn versus Purdue. But we have a big matchup going on right here.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This will decide which mammals get to exist tomorrow on the planet. The other one will be eliminated.
That's not true, and it's not nice because one of these is endangered.
How? I mean, they're both endangered, actually.
But that's part
of my facts,
okay.
So don't jump ahead.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Thank you very much.
All right. So you're going to decide. The final eight were, the elite eight, I should say, were on annonraven.com. You can see the final lineup. And over the last few weeks, you've been voting on which mammal you think is the best. But today, it's the finals. So you can text your vote or you can call your in your vote to 1-800-330-9999. And it comes down to the rhinoceros versus the orangutan.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, we're going to go around the room. Each of us is going to give one fact about each animal, and then you're going to decide which one is cooler.
Yeah.
Let's start with rhino, Raven.
Okay. Well, there are five species of rhinoceros on the planet, the black, the white, the greater one-horned, the Javan, and the Sumatran. And despite the different names and classification, the black and white rhino, by the way, exact same color. They're both gray.
Oh.
They're both gray.
That's like a combination of black and white.
That's right.
To make the color.
I don't know why they didn't just say those are gray rhinoceri.
No.
Rhinoceri.
You don't even have
If there's a lot of them, I don't know.
So many things have been mispronounced in the last 30 seconds. I'm so excited about
I thought
it.
So.
John, give me a fact about rhinos.
There's only 29,000 of them in the entire world. These guys are a hot commodity. You want to talk about supply and demand of rhinos? And listen, it's very sad because it's because of poaching. But I'm just saying, this is a rare commodity. Makes them valuable.
I want you to imagine that you've got a beautiful child and you need to make sure that they're going to prom with somebody. It's the same way if you have a beautiful rhino somewhere on the property. You got to set them up with somebody.
Right.
It's a hard job.
Sean, give me a fact about rhinos.
All right. Well, rhinos, specifically the black rhino, uses their dung pile known as middens as a message board.
Ew.
And it will wipe their own dung on the back of their heels so other rhinos know that they're in their area or their presence, which I might start doing that at home now. Sorry,
that's
Rachel.
Disgusting.
That's enough from you. Thank you.
Speaking of rhino dung, That's how they spread seeds. They eat fruits and vegetables, and then their dung spreads the seeds to continue growing the plants. It's an important part of survival of plant species.
You see, when the antelope die, they become the grass, and then we eat the grass, and then it's the circle of life.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't that like a common thing with men?
Yeah. All right, but up against the rhino is the orangutan. Go ahead, Raven, give me a fact.
Well, you know, all the Earth's species of orangutans are endangered. Every single one of them. And it's due to logging, whether it be legal or illegal. So keep that in mind the next time you put your feet up on your coffee table.
All right.
Jerk.
John, give me a fact about orangutan.
They have beards. Even the girls have beards, but the guys have beards and mustaches, and that's just awesome.
All right. Go ahead, Sean.
It's kind of awesome.
Orangutan babies will stay with their parents for 6 years, which is only beaten out by us humans.
Get a job, orangutan baby. Get a job.
Do you know that orangutans and humans share 97% of the same DNA? And actually, the word orangutan means human of the forest. They are the closest to us. Now you decide. 1-800-330-9999. Who will win Mammal Madness? Will it be the rhino or the orangutan? Go, vote!
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
The coolest mammals on the planet. There can be only one. Who will be the champion? It's Anna and Raven's Mammal Madness.
Congratulations to South Carolina. They defeated Iowa last night to win the NCAA Women's Championship. Tonight, the men have their turn, UConn versus Purdue. But around here, we're going to settle it right now. The greatest mammal of all time, Mammal Madness. Over the last few weeks, you've been voting. Norwal was the big favorite. Norwal got taken down right in the second round.
The narwhal? The norwal?
Narwhal.
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 You know, the whale with the...
That looks like a unicorn?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
that's
one.
The one that we that's mean, right?
Yeah, we thought
Anteater
that was
the one. Anteater was in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some really great animals. The platypus, the duck-billed platypus.
That was a cool one, too. But it all came down to today, the rhinoceros versus the orangutan. And I have to let you know that the rhino, it wasn't even close. With 80% of the vote, the rhino becomes Mammal Madness' champion of the year.
I wouldn't try and say that again.
No.
I would just say that rhino won, and that was good, and we're excited about it.
Right. It's a common term that you hear a lot recently. Burnout. Joining us is Trevor Bogan. He's original director of Top Employers Institute in North America. Trevor, I know like some of the biggest companies are trying to figure out how do you handle that? What do you do when your whole entire team is just tired of working?
Yeah, it's a tough thing right now, Anna. And this is something that's been going on since 2018 and continuing to grow. BBC did a study over 2,000 employees, and 42% of those employees have felt burnout. So organizations really just need to understand it, be aware of it more, and look for signs of burnout, because there are signs that employees will show, you know, having lack of clarity, communication, they're not engaged anymore.
Trevor, I mean, is this any different? Was there always burnout before and we just fired those people and looked at them as weak? And then this has kind of given rise after COVID to this? Or is this just the tide has turned? There's more people that want to work, you know, in a less intense environment than there used to be. I'm at a loss here.
Well, burnout's always been a thing, right? And I think it's becoming more prevalent now, more depression, more anxiety. People are noticing it more. And the pandemic really didn't help. Everyone was at home. Everyone was working. Everyone was kind of dealing with people being sick, not sick, wiping your groceries off. Like, you're always just panicking about something or worried about something. Jobs got intense. People had to take on more responsibility, more roles. All of those things kind of hit all at one time.
So what are companies doing? What exactly is like the protocol now when a company says, yeah, no, this employee is going through a rough time. It's very clear they're burnt out.
You just have to really be able to be vulnerable and empathetic and talk. And so specifically when you see someone that you feel like may be showing some signs of burnout, the first thing all leaders should be doing is request a one-on-one and just have a conversation. Employee satisfaction surveys are huge now, too. Sometimes burnout can't be obvious. So take a pulse on how your employees are feeling and maybe give them some opportunities to get a mentor in a different department and learn a new skill. And that can help with burnout as well, because you're doing something that you really like to do and you're more purposeful with doing.
I mean, it's just nearly impossible to start a company nowadays. It sounds like to me, right? It's very difficult, right? Where we've got to take into account everybody's, you know, feelings in each situation. But I am a firm believer that, you know, it's like being a coach, basically, right? Is when you're a coach, you know, it's not like you build the team as to your specifications. You have a team and you have to get the most out of each one of those people on your team. And when you can do that, that's typically how you come out a winner. So, I mean, it makes sense. It's just, wow, it's a lot.
Yeah, well, times have changed, and this is not necessarily a bad thing. And think about all the good coaches, Raven, that were out there, your Phil Jacksons, your Woodens, getting the best thing out of people. And that's what I think that leaders have to do a really good job with, and even CEOs of an organization.
Well, I think what's amazing and just jumps out at me, Trevor, is every one of those people that were winners or coached winners, they won with different types of people with different skill sets, which tells you that there's more than one way to win, gives rise to that everybody's skill set has a value. So I find that very interesting. And you have to tap into that. You have to identify that. First thing to tap into that is to identify it and then give somebody the confidence to achieve what it is that their ability will allow. It's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trevor Bogan is the regional director of Top Employers Institute. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great day.
Eileen Washburn is a high school teacher, and she might be losing her job. Why? Here's what's happening.
Lakota Local Schools is accusing Washburn of falsifying sick leave on February 8th and 9th. The district alleges that Washburn was not sick, and instead she, quote, informed several colleagues that she was attending a concert in Nashville while taking sick leave from the district.
These rats, they're supposed to be your friends, and they rat you out and say that you went to Nashville and you weren't really out sick. Not for nothing, but like, what?
They're
what is
jealous.
That?
Yeah, they're jelly.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
What it is. Yeah.
Yeah. They go on.
The resolution states she refused to answer questions regarding her whereabouts or specifics on her alleged need for sick leave.
Yeah, because she was in Nashville, probably going to like a really cool concert.
She played the fifth.
Yeah.
The resolution also states that Lakota Interim Superintendent Elizabeth Lally is recommending that the board terminate Washburn's contract in part because the teacher's alleged actions violated the collective bargaining agreement.
I mean, people, when they get on a soapbox, right? The things that you make examples for and do, they have impacts on people's entire lives, right?
I'm so torn on this because it's like, should she lose her job for this? And she lied. She 100% lied, and she's supposed to be on have those days only if she's sick. But then I know a lot of my friends that are teachers, and like we plan things, and they use their sick days so we can do that.
I mean, here's the thing. It's your personal time off.
No, but right? It's not. You have to remember, when it's teachers, it's different because they have all their built-in vacations that they get. So they only get a certain lot of times a year, and I believe for a lot of districts, they roll over whatever, but they're really, truly supposed to be meant for sickness.
Yeah, but the intention of something, all right, the reason why a contract is written or whatever is not real life. And that's not, you know, if you went state to state, I'm sure you could argue the rights of whether or not these contracts are actually even enforceable, right? Because the fact is that the time is allotted for you. So what's the difference? What's the difference? I mean, I've worked in a job where they tried to tell us when to vacation for many, many years. It's not right. Other people don't live that way.
Right, but that's the career that we chose, much like this is the career she chose, where you get these days, you get the summers off, you get the spring breaks, you get the winter breaks, you get the time off for the holidays, you get all the special holidays, and that's built in to your salary, so these extra days. And I don't know one way or the other how I feel about it. I do know that it's disruptive for students, especially on a high school level, that when you're preparing, you're doing work. I know for like my daughter... Her math teacher was sick for a couple of days. She went in early for extra help 2 days this week and sat in the hallway because the teacher was out. I mean, it's not the teacher's fault she's sick, but it can be disruptive to students when they're counting on you to be there.
I mean, again, we're talking about the fact is what? You're the difference between being a president and maintenance worker. That makes no sense whatsoever. That's real life, is that you have to be able to adjust on a daily basis and see what's going on. Not everything depends on your teacher in one subject in one classroom.
You ever lie about... sick? You have?
Of course. Everybody has lied about being sick. You call up, you embellish at the very least. I'm not feeling well. I mean, nowadays you don't have to do that because PTO time is simply PTO time. You just send a message. But back in the day when you had to call, 100%.
I've never in my life called out of work sick.
You have missed out. You have missed out on a part of life.
Eileen Washburn is a high school teacher, and she is facing being let go and losing her job because she took 2 days off saying that she was sick, but told her coworkers that she went to a concert in Nashville. They ratted her out, and now the board wants her gone.
You know, I don't know a ton about Eileen. I mean, if this was her third month there and she was probationary or something, that'd be one thing, right? But if she's been a teacher for 6, 7, 8 years, seems to me she's earned a couple days.
What do you think? Should you lose your job for lying about being sick when you're a teacher in that profession? We asked around the office.
Everybody should get penalized for lying about being sick. You should just be upfront and honest. Not feeling well. Need a mental health day. My kid's sick. Why lie?
No, but like to go on vacation, though.
Yes, she should definitely get penalized. She lied.
Okay.
I know her. Mm-hmm. She is a filthy liar.
Mm-hmm.
Filthy liar right now. I'm calling you out in the hall.
Have you ever lied about being sick to get out of work?
Eons ago. Years ago. Of course.
Yeah. She's like, I do it all the time. No big deal.
She did it last year.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her.
All right. Should this woman get fired according to our coworkers?
I don't think so because they deal with so many children, and we know how hard that children can be, and I think that sometimes they need a vacation day, and if they need to use a sick day, so be it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, but let's see here.
Have you ever lied about being sick to get out of work?
No, I'm a goody two-shoe. I always tell the truth. I'll use a vacation day.
Every single one of our coworkers says they've never called out.
Right.
Every single one. We asked like 10 of them.
Right. Do we make you testify, though, whether if it's sick or PTO? I think it's a little bit different. I don't know.
Honestly, I think women are more apt not to lie than men are. I really do.
Sounds a little bit stereotypical.
I mean, where's
your evidence?
1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, what do you think? Does she deserve to lose her job?
Absolutely not. I'm sure she's put in many years of service to her school where she's earned those 6 days. Are they going to pay her if they let her go altogether with all the ones she's earned?
Hmm. I have no idea. No follow-up questions.
I have a follow-up question. Susan, have you ever lied about being sick to get out of work?
Absolutely. I'm not going to lie now. Absolutely, I have.
Right. Who cares? Good for you. Embrace it. Embrace it. You should lie tomorrow, all right? Embrace the horror. Hi, Sophia. What do you think? Should this teacher lose her job?
I mean, I get that the whole sick day thing is, it is for sick days. It's called sick days for a reason. But at the same time, it's like, if you're a teacher, I feel like you don't really have a life outside of being a teacher.
Not during the school year.
Yes, I mean, they deserve a life.
And who's the doctor that decides whether or not it's a mental health day, whether or not that qualifies as sick, right? Because, you know, if you need a break, you need a break.
Yeah, that's true.
What we really want to know is, have you called in sick before?
I have called in sick before. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I've called in for, like, days that I'm not feeling up to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never called in for wanting to do something on my personal time. And if I have, it's something that you should keep to yourself, really. I feel like not everybody at work needs to know what you're doing all the time.
It feels like you're still not comfortable telling us.
I'm calling out at the end of this month because I'm going to a concert with my brother.
Booyah!
And that's like, okay, wait. But the thing is that the concert is at like 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I mean, I get
so
it. That's like midnight as far as morning people are concerned.
She's already sick.
Right.
She's not feeling
well. You're
sick now. Exactly.
We're on your side.
Yeah.
One couple.
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make him an excuse. She can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Oh, Maggie, I'm not sure how this is going to go, but go ahead. Explain what's going on.
Okay, well, I want to tell my 4-year-old niece that nuggets and burgers are from animals. I'm a vegetarian. I'm horrified that my sister has purposely not told her daughter that she's eating animal meat when she's, like, eating these burgers and nuggets and turkey sandwiches. And I don't know. I just feel like it's wild. I feel like we have to be honest with kids. And I know my sister, she thinks that if her daughter knew, then she wouldn't want to eat any of it. But I think that we need to be real with our kids and let them know what they're eating.
All right. And Brendan, I'm going to guess you have a real problem with Maggie getting in the middle of this, huh?
Oh, I love my wife so much, but this is just not the territory. She is so strong-willed. She loves animals so much, but we're talking about a four-year-old. They don't have the concept of morality yet to care animal meat. I'm more afraid what happens if she tells our niece this, and the niece is like, okay, and just walks off. Is this going to keep being an issue? But the actual part is, my sister is also extremely strong-willed. There were definitely times I remember the whole house melting down over arguments between her and their parents.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So obviously, if Maggie tells your sister that she doesn't approve, or tells your niece directly, and then your niece brings it up to your sister, which of course she's going to do, because that would be the thing to do with your parents, this is going to be an argument, is what you're saying. This is going to be a problem, as I would imagine that it could be.
I'm just begging, tell my sister first and then have a conversation about it.
Wait a minute, Maggie, this isn't even your sister. It's Brendan's sister.
Well, I mean, she's my sister by marriage.
No, I know. I get that, but you're nuts. You are out of your mind. You might start a war with your family. If it's your own sister, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand it, but I could see that more.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's your place to go talking to a 4 or 5 year old about this, kids about this without talking to their parents first. I mean, because obviously the part of the story that has the impact on somebody is the shock value, is that you're eating an animal that has, in fact, been harvested for you to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if a 4-year-old's prepared for that.
I know a lot of young children that won't eat those foods because they don't like that it comes from animals, and some that it doesn't faze them in the least bit.
Right. But, I mean, wouldn't it be up to your mom or dad whether or not to tell that story?
Yes, of course. But you want to know what? Maggie, there may be people that agree with you. If you feel like lying to a child is lying to a child, and you feel like your niece deserves to know the truth, is it your place to tell her?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I don't know. When can you overstep your boundaries as a family member? Maggie and Brendan. Brendan's sister, they have a 4-year-old niece who they love very much. Maggie loves her. But Maggie is a vegan, and she feels that it is incredibly unfair that her sister-in-law doesn't let her niece know that when she's eating chicken nuggets and hot dogs, that she's eating meat.
Mm.
She hides it from her because she feels like her niece will then be strange and not want to eat it. And Maggie says, I'm going to tell her. She deserves to know the truth.
Yeah, but Brendan is just like, first, you can't go to a 4-year-old and explain this to him because they just don't, that's not part of their decision-making process at this point. And you have to talk to my sister first before you would do anything. Listen, as an aunt or an uncle or somebody that, spends time watching over a child that you care about, obviously you want them to learn as much as they can, right?
Yeah,
and you want to be honest with them and answer their questions when they have them. But it's something different when you're going to raise a subject to them of this nature, right?
Yeah. What do you think? Does she have any right to do this? 1-800-330-9999. Rebecca?
110% Brendan. It's, first off, not her biological sister, so the drama she would start will literally cause a divide in the family, and it's not her child. It's one thing to have an adult-to-adult conversation, but to involve a child in it that's not hers is no.
It does feel a bit inappropriate, right?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Does an aunt have any right to override what a mother has decided is best for her child? That's what's going on between Maggie and Brendan. Brendan's sister, she has a 4-year-old daughter, their niece. Mm. And Maggie loves her so much. But Maggie's a vegetarian, and she thinks it's outrageous that her sister-in-law doesn't tell her niece that chicken nuggets, hot dogs, burgers are all made from meat, and she believes that if her niece knew the truth, she would not eat them. And she says it's not fair that she's lying to her, and I'm going to tell her.
Yeah, I mean, that just seems like a lot, right? And Brendan is like, this is terrifying to me because both my wife, Maggie, and my sister are both strong-willed women, and this is a situation that will just be explosive. I want you to imagine that you don't have an opinion on this one way or the other, right, whatsoever. But, you have two topics that people are incredibly passionate about, right? you know, when you have a vegan belief, it is a belief. It's not just about taste. It is a belief, right? And when you have your child 100%, obviously that is the thing that you are most protective of on the planet. So imagine those two things going head to head.
Does Maggie have any right to step in and talk to her niece about this?
I'm scared right now.
1-800-330-9999. Dawn, whose side are you on?
Oh, I am definitely on the husband's side. She needs to mind her business.
I mean, it seems like a pretty big move with your sister-in-law, right? Like, I mean, if she had that kind of relationship with her own sister, that'd be one thing. But, you know, wow. Wow.
Even still, even if it was my sister.
Yeah.
You mind your business. You come talk to me and let me make my decisions.
Jessica, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I'm on her side, and I disagree with him that kids don't have any morality. My daughter stopped eating fish and seafood at age 3 because she didn't like the fact that she was eating an animal.
Hmm. Thank you for the call.
And she's never eaten chicken or beef.
Roseanne, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
Well, I'm on the dad's side, and I think, it's not your sister, and B, it's not your child.
I agree. Like, you can have your opinion. Oh, you can't get in the middle of what a mom has decided to do for her child.
It seems like it's delicate ground, right? I mean, I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, it's got shock value to begin with. And then second off, I mean, it's not your child. It's not your household. Not your place. Stay in your lane, lady.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Brendan, our audience agreed with you today. Maggie, it is not your place. It's not. I mean, we're sure you love your niece and you want her to know the truth, and there will become a time, trust me, well, she will learn. But that information has to come from her parents, and it's not your position to do that.
I mean, look, I am interested in the feedback. I appreciate it. It's just something I'm going to have to really think about.
Yeah. Brendan, I wish you luck. I mean, it's like walking through a minefield right here. It's plenty common for our spouses to have some sort of conflict with our family. We don't expect them to agree on everything. But something where you're going to the next level and you're talking to somebody else's children, Maggie, I just don't know if I can agree with that. Brendan, good luck.
Yeah, this is like the time where I promised my nieces and nephews that I would buy them the outdoor trampoline because my cousin said no. And then I had to tell them I wasn't allowed to because she lost her mind.
Right.
Sometimes you have to, like, know your place. And even if you want to be the favorite aunt and the aunt and all that.
They don't belong to you.
No, they don't. But I'm still going to get them that trampoline eventually. I'm going to wear those parents. Don't worry, guys.
When they're 18, that's different.
Zia's on it.
Okay. Brendan, good luck, man.
I think you'll be fine. They love her as an aunt. They already trust her to do all the babysitting. Just listen to the audience, please.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Can't beat Raven jackpot is $500. Thanks to New Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin, 14 days, 5 luxurious scents available online and in stores near you. Okay, Eric, ready to play?
I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, man.
Okay.
Thanks.
Raven's walking out. That door is going to close. He won't be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He comes back in. Same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Ready?
Yep.
Number one, Lara Croft was voted the most iconic video game character of all time, followed by Super Mario. Lara Croft is from what game?
Tomb Raider.
Number two, Kiss sold its music catalog, name, logo, and image and likeness rights to a company called Pop House Entertainment for over $300 million. What's the next line to the opening lyrics of Rock and Roll All Night? You show us everything you've got.
I want to rock and roll all night.
Number three, Princess Cruises is offering one person an all-expenses-paid cruise to test their new casino. You get free food, drinks, and you also get $500 stipend to spend at the casino. How many cards are there in a full deck?
52.
Number four, after Shaquille O'Neal won a gold medal at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, he threw it out the window on his way home because he was mad that he didn't get enough playing time in the championship game. What college won the women's NCAA championship last night?
South Carolina.
And number five, the Country Music Television Music Awards went off without a hitch last night in Austin, Texas. Who returned to host it?
I don't know.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Not terrible.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Eric.
Not great, not terrible. $500. Let's see how we do.
Number one, Lara Croft was voted the most iconic video game character of all time, followed by Super Mario.
Okay.
Lara Croft is from what game?
Tomb Raider.
That's right. Number two, Kiss sold its music catalog, name, logo, and image and likeness rights to a company called Pop House Entertainment for over $300 million.
Say what you will, they just keep making money.
Yeah, they figured it out. What's the next line to the opening lyrics of Rock and Roll All Night? And say them slowly, please. You show us everything you've got.
You keep on dancing and the room gets hot.
That's it.
You drive us wild. We'll drive you crazy.
That's right. Number three, Princess Cruises is offering one person an all-expenses-paid cruise to test their new casino. You get free food, drinks, and you also get $500 stipend to spend at the casino.
Sign me up.
Yeah, $500. When you blow through that, then what?
I'm not going to lose. Don't worry about me.
How many cards are in a full deck?
I'll be back in my room in 30 minutes. 52.
Yes. Number four, after Shaquille O'Neal won a gold medal at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, he threw it out the window on his way home, never saw it again. He said he was mad about not getting enough playing time in the championship game.
I mean, you had to bring it, Shaq.
What college won the women's NCAA championship last night?
South Carolina.
That's right.
Congratulations.
And number five, Country Music Television Music Awards went off without a hitch last night in Austin, Texas. Who returned to host it?
It's Kelsey Ballerini, right?
Yep. I'm sorry, Eric. 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Eric, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $600 tomorrow, Anna. Here we go.